Welcome everybody to episode 3 in the brand new Golden Arrow series looking back at the BDO World Championships. And I'm delighted to welcome for this episode the 1997 runner-up, Marshall James. How are you, Marshall?
I'm very, very fine, thanks.
How are you coping with the present situation?
It's a bit boring at times, but it's like everything else. You've got to knuckle down and bear with it.
Looking back at your darting career, I think one place I thought was best to start would be the 1997 World Championships. How was it that you qualified for the event at the Lakeside?
I qualified through playing county darts through Pembrokeshire and coming through the qualifying rounds of Pembrokeshire, going on then to qualify for Wales and being one of the qualifiers to go to World's Court in London to qualify for the World Championships.
How many games do you think you played to get there?
In Pembrokeshire, I think I won about 8 games down there. And when I went to Earl's Court to qualify for the World Championships, I think I won 7 games there.
But that's quite a long road to get to the tournament. What were your expectations going in?
The hardest part of going to the World Championship, I thought, was the qualifying rounds. I got through the qualifiers. But after that, I had nothing to lose. So every game was a bonus after that.
You started your World Championships with a 3-1 win over William Burnsfield of Scotland. What do you remember of that game?
What I could remember was it was my first time on the stage in Lakeside. And I can remember vaguely that I think William Burnsfield was a county player from Middlesex, I think, wasn't he? So he was in the same situation as I was. He was a qualified as well. So I thought I had a very good chance.
I mean, you came through that one 3-1, and then, you know, the next 3 games you played him were all really close games. The first of them came against Andy Fordham, which you won 3-2. That was quite an impressive performance.
Yeah, it was. With all the crowd behind Andy in Lakeside, he was one of the favourites to win the tournament at the time. Like I said, I had nothing to lose because he was the crowd favourite there, and I just kept plodding along, and you know that's how it goes, and that's how the bottle. I kept my bottle and I went and hit the final double.
I mean, you certainly showed your bottle, not just in the World Championships, but also, you know, the World Masters the following year. But in the quarters, 97, you played the American Roger Carter, won that one 3-1. And then, you know, a game that's a fantastic watch to look back on, your semi-final against Steve Beaton. You know, that game was so close. Steve missed a dart to win the match, and then you took out that big 106 to get to the final. What are your, you know, what are your memories, reflections on both the quarterfinal and the semi-final?
Well, in the quarterfinal, I played Roger Carter. I think I went 3-0 up. Roger came back at me to make it 3-3. And in the same situation I was, I just kept plodding on, and I finally got to the winning line. And as for the semi-final against Steve Beaton, well, I think that they went on for about, I'm not sure, 2 hours or two and a half hours. The longer the game went, the more confident I felt, because I felt, you know, if I can get your past the winning line again, I'm in the final and I'm only one step away from being world champion.
And what do you think helped you mentally coming through those really tough games?
My mental strength was my relaxation in the daytime when I was, you know, relaxing, going swimming, going walking, keeping my mind occupied and trying to keep my mind off what I had to do on the nights when I was playing darts. So when mentally, I was well prepared.
And when you got to the final, you played Les Wallace of Scotland. It was the second time in 4 years that both players were unseeded. You know, what were your emotions, you know, that after you won through the semi-final, what were your emotions ahead of the final?
That time on that day, I think if from the semi-final to the final, I know we had a day's break. I know if that final was another day, I think I'd have been more relaxed. I didn't have much time to kick in and things like that. My sleeping pattern wasn't the same.
So did you find it difficult to sleep the night before the final?
Yes, I did, because it was on my mind a bit, and because it was a long day as well in front of the final, you know what I mean? If it was another day, perhaps I would have been more relaxed. But because of after that epic semi-final against Steve Beaton, it took a bit out of me.
Did you feel any additional pressure for the final because you were both unseeded and you'd both been sort of surprise packages getting all the way to the final and beating the names that you both had?
No, when I got on the stage in the final, it was as if I didn't feel the pressure again. But what the problem was, I felt the pressure of the lightning on things on the stage that made me sweat on my hands and things. And it was more pressure because of the heat from the stage of the lightning. I think that took it out of me a bit.
Obviously, you ended up losing that game 6-3. You know, how did you respond after that defeat? Because obviously, you know, you've lost the World Championship final. It must have been disappointing.
Yes, it was disappointing. But on the other hand, the way I looked at it, the better man beat me on the day. It was a great achievement what I achieved to be in the final. To be honest, I think I'd have been proud, considering I came from a qualifying position and I got all the way to the final, but I didn't just quite get there. So I was disappointed and preferred to let the best man win on the day.
Something that people will notice watching back, you know, your games from that era, you've got quite a slow, deliberate throw. How did your throw develop over the years?
My throw developed over the years because if you watch my throw, my eye contact to the board and I watch the end as it goes along. So if I start throwing quick, the right stance and the eye contact to the treble. And that's why I was throwing slow, because of that.
And when was it that you first actually started playing darts?
I first started playing darts when I was 15 years old. It was when I was working in a local club in Llanelli, when I was a dust collector. And in between the bingo and the shows, I used to go in the bar and I picked up the set of darts and throw darts there in between my glass collecting. And that's how I started playing darts.
And then what was your route after that? You know, when did you first sort of start playing for, you know, a local team and then eventually playing county and nationally for Wales?
I started playing then in local pubs and clubs at the age of very young age. 15, 16. I played for a club down. The first club I ever played for was the Marva Social Club, which is in the New Dock area of Llanelli. And I just started playing there, and from there, then at the age of 18, 19, I was selected to play Super League. So I went on to play Super League for Llanelli in the Pembrokeshire Super League, and after that I got selected for the Pembroke County.
You know, 1997 was a fantastic year for you as a player. You got to the World Championship final, and then a little bit later in the year, you went to the Welsh Open, a tournament you got to the final of before, and you won it. What are your memories of that event?
It was a very long day. I started playing darts, I think it was up to state in the morning. And I think I played, I'm not sure if it was 8 games all day. I think I was playing the final about 10 o'clock in the night. So I was actually playing and waiting 11 and a half hours all day, which is a very, it was an hard tournament to win, considering the hours you had to wait to play your games.
And later in the year, you went to Australia to play in the World Cup for Wales. Where were you when you actually got the call to tell you that you were going to be in the squad for the World Cup?
In a public house which is a Smith's Arms in the Blaenau Llanelli, when a phone call off from the Welsh manager, Malcolm Hawkins, to say that I was selected for the Welsh shortman side. And I was, to be honest, I was very surprised to be selected because there were some good players in Wales. But I was one of the four that got selected.
What was your relationship like with your teammates at the time, Eric Burden, Sean Palfrey and Martin Phillips?
My relationship with them was very good. We got on well. There was a very good team spirit between the four of us. Eric as well, he was our captain. He's another local lad from Llanelli as well. So I knew Eric very well. And Sean I knew very well as well because I'd been to a lot of tournaments with him. And Martin, well, he's been about for Wales for years. But I just knew him through playing for Wales, you know.
You know, anybody can tell from hearing you speak, you are clearly a very proud Welshman. What did it mean to represent your country in general, but also at a World Cup?
It meant a lot to me. To represent your country, you know, you get that... You shivers on your spine, you know, when you hear the national anthem and things. And especially when you hear the national anthem in a World Cup, when you've got something like 40 or 50 other countries there. And when you hear the Welsh national anthem, it's just something special.
You heard the Welsh anthem for a very good reason, you know, in Australia in 97, because for the first time since 1977, and the team that contained Leighton Rees, Wales won the team event. I mean, what did that mean to you to be able to lift that trophy along with Eric, Sean and Martin?
Oh, it was very exciting times because it was amazing. At that time, I can still remember it. Everybody played well. It was one of them days, you know, that everybody played well. We just got there against a good English side as well.
Afterwards, you went back to 1998. You went back to the Lakeside at the World Championships. You obviously came in as the runner-up from the year before, and you played a fellow Welshman, Richie Burnett, and you lost. Did you feel any additional pressure going back to the tournament, you know, with heightened expectation, more people knew who you were?
No, not really. I went to the tournament exactly the same as the year before. But knowing I was playing Richie as well, which is he's a great mate of mine, and it's a hard game to play Richie in the first round. It's not like the year before. I knew Richie well. I knew how we controlled that. Like I say, it was a little bit more pressure on me because I had got to the final. Richie was a world champion in 1995, so he knew the stage a little bit better than me because he'd been there before, so it was a little bit of tension on my side.
After that, you know, after that tournament, you had another successful year in 1998, the semis of the Norway Open. You had more success with Wales at the Europe Cup, where you got to the semi-finals of the singles before losing to Ko Stompi. And You also got to the semis of the World Masters as well. Another fantastic year for you.
Yeah, it was. I had two really good years, 97, 98. What it was as well, at that time, I was going around in a lot of tournaments, like I said, playing for my country and this. It's when I was travelling with my country to two different countries, my confidence was up high, because when you went to play in different countries, the darts were immense, you know, every venue was different, and you would adapt to everything, right?
And were you ever surprised by your own performances at these events, or were you always, you know, a confident player who knew that on your day you knew what you were capable of?
I've always been a confident player. I knew what, if I was playing for Wales, I was there for a reason. I was confident of, when I put that Welsh shirt on, I was confident of beating anybody in the world. And that's the way I was.
Moving away from your Wales career, the World Masters in 1998, you know, you had some fantastic games to get to the semis, and you beat Steve Beaton again, Ronnie Baxter, and then, you know, you just lost in the semis to Alan Warren a little. It was your best performance at the World Masters. What does that run mean to you, looking back on it?
It was a different competition to obviously the Embassy World, because on the Masters, everything was played on the day. So whoever was winning the tournament, they'd be playing all day. So it was a little bit different from the world title, from being a world master. Because of all the setup was different, you know.
And it was a slightly shorter format as well.
Yes, it was. Yeah, it was a best of seven, I think, was it? Yeah, that's like a shorter format, which is harder then.
Your final appearance at a World Championships came in 1999. You beat Scotland's Peter Johnston in the first round, and then you fell to Steve Duke in the last 16. What are your memories of that tournament?
That tournament was...
And is it a sense of disappointment to you that game, and, you know, the way that you lost, is your final game at a World Championships as it stand?
Yeah, it was my final game of the World Championships, yeah. It was disappointing, really, because I went into the game very confident, and I think I missed a lot of doubles, and I let Steve in, I did.
I mean, what can you talk me through, shed some light on what your career was like after 1999? Because if if anybody was to look at the record pages that you find online, you qualified for the UK Open in 2003, but beyond a few local competitions, there isn't much of a record for you.
No, well, it was a qualifier for the UK Open, which was played in, what was it, in a football stadium in Blackburn, what's the other one?
Oh, Bolton.
Bolton, sorry, in a football stadium in Bolton. What I can always remember the time, I was playing on the stage, and I was playing a fella from Swindon, which his name was Mark Thompson. And I was on the main stage, and the game was getting televised, and I think it was the best of nine, and I went 4-0 up, and all of a sudden there was a power cut there. So we went off the stage for, I think it was about 20 minutes, and I'll never forget it. We came back on. I already missed three darts. Sorry, I was 4-0 up, missed three darts to win. It was a power cut. I came back on the stage, and Mark Thompson won the next five legs, and I lost 5-4. Very disappointing.
I mean, how hard was it to, you know, when the power cut happened and you obviously had to go off stage, that must have been you're really hard to cope with mentally, knowing that you just missed, you know, darts for the match, and you know you've got to go back out there and try and stay composed and just try and finish the job.
Well, to be realistically, I couldn't believe what happened.
And then what did your darting career look like after that tournament?
My darting career looked after that tournament was... after that, I went... I finished darts for about 10 years. I was running a pub and a bookmakers. And I just didn't play for 10 years. I'd give it a break. And... 10 years ago, then I just come back, playing in local tournaments, and that's all I do now is play in local tournaments.
You know, when you stopped playing for those years while you were running the pub and the bookmakers, did you miss darts?
Yes, I did miss darts, but I was still playing in the local leagues and in the pub at the time, but I wasn't playing bigger competitions, because when I was running the pub and the bookmakers, I just didn't have time to play travel the country again.
Obviously, things have all sort of stopped now, but are you considering maybe stepping it up again from the local competitions, and you know, maybe trying out the PDC Q School, or maybe doing some of the WDF events?
Yes, perhaps I will this year. It's just the problem I've had is I got a slight. 10 years ago as well, I had an injury. I fell through a roof. I broke my arm, smashed my arm up. Smashed my shoulder up and my pelvis, and I was in hospital for a fortnight, and I thought I'd never play darts again. So my hand was all smashed up, but I eventually came back slowly, and this is why I'm back playing now in the local tournaments, and we'll see how it goes from there. We take one step at a time, you know.
Was it your throwing arm that you broke?
Yes, it was, yeah.
I mean, that must have been quite a long, slow, you know, physiotherapy recovery to actually be able to get in a position to feel comfortable throwing and then throwing to a good standard.
Yeah, it was. When I did start playing back after I broke my hand and my arm, I thought I'd never throw again, because when I started, I couldn't hit the board. I was hitting the skirting boards on the floor, and I thought, this is it. Like, and I just had to keep at it and at it and at it, and you know, and I left it go, started back, left it go, started back, and gradually it came back to me. Hmm. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I mean, looking back on your career now, how would you assess your achievements, you know, throughout the 1990s and early 2000s?
My achievement, I think, around them times, I was very grateful of, and, you know, I was playing well at the time. I think at the time, in the early 90s, up to... For that 10-year period, I think I was ranked number 3 in the world. When I was going to tournaments, like I say, I went to Norway, I went to Sweden. At the time, I was playing all the time. And I was very, very, how can I say, I knew when I was going into a tournament, I'd have a chance of winning it. Mm. That's how confident I was in them days, you know.
And are you grateful for the achievements in the career that you had?
Oh yes, I am grateful. I am grateful too as well, because options I had to play, you know, for my county side, Denbighshire, and for Wales. Before playing for them, I was grateful, you know, for being selected. And, you know, the good times to look back on.
Well, it's certainly been enjoyable to look back on them with you today, and I really appreciate your time this evening, Marshall. Thank you very much.